Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden. It's Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth Straight Up.
Truth Straight Up. All kinds of things to talk about today. They are still counting ballots in California.
And they won't finish, actually, for weeks.
They won't finish until they can have the people
that
they want.
Done that. They've already done that.
Yeah. They're doing that ballots in Colorado mailed out. But first, we have to...
So they can start cheating on those right away.
But a rare occurrence, we have to set the record straight. We have to apologize. We were duped. The last couple of shows, we had Ted Harvey on Monday talking about the new Colorado Republican Party chair, Craig Schneider. And initially we said we were kind of skeptical of him, but after hearing his speech, or he assured us all, he was totally for the opt-out. He had the support of people like Ted Harvey, totally for the opt-out. And we were like, okay. And we actually said, Chuck, this will teach Chuck to be optimistic.
This is totally true.
Yeah. It's like Chuck was briefly optimistic. I'm always optimistic. And we said, hey.
You got me optimistic.
We think,
to my detriment.
We think this guy might be able to revitalize the party. Well, it turns out we were duped. Craig Schneider, less than a week after he became the new chair, assuring us all that he was in favor of the opt-out. He conned us. What he did is he put out a list of his committee appointments, and I won't get into the weeds on that.
Oh, no, we'll get in the weeds.
Okay, but the bottom line is he stacked his committees, so the voting members of the Colorado Republican Party leadership, the people decide about the bylaws and things like that, he stacked them with anti-opt-out people. He stacked them with rhino uniparty establishment people who want jungle primaries. Worse.
Open a jungle primary, both.
Right. Worse, he appointed, so Laura Carno was one of the rhinos who was censured not very long ago, 15 of them, I think, were censured for continuing to support Britta Horn and saying that the party needs to pay Britta Horn's personal attorney, Steve Klenda, some $230,000.
Plus 18% interest. Yeah.
Which the party doesn't have. So she was censured by the party, right? What does Craig Schneider do? He appoints her to the top leadership committee. Now, he kicks off people like Chuck. Right?
Can you believe that? I'm okay with that. If he put in some member of his group that was pro opt-out, but he didn't. He put in one more anti-opt-out person. I just want to go, this is the all-important bylaws committee, because there's some important bylaw provisions we have to get in to make it that way.
To help govern, too, how the party goes, right?
So it was James Peabody, who's very pro opt out. He is removed but put back in the committee. And John Fielding, who has been a bylaws establishment person for decades and anti opt out as chair. Then he put Bob Patterson, he's come from Weld County or around there. I remember seeing him, anti opt out guy. Sean Hagerty is pro opt-out, and James Peabody. And he finished up with Tom Scovel, who's from our neck of the woods, maybe one of the more unpleasant human beings.
Barb Kirkmeyer supporter. So these are
totally
people.
And so we'll just add that up. So now we have two people on the bylaws committee. What will be outvoted when it really counts, 3-2 every time. So you go, I put a couple of your people on there. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, buddy. And then he goes to the Legal Affairs Committee, which I was vice chair.
And let me just break in a second. The reason that's so important is the Legal Affairs Committee is a committee. Again, the opt-out is disastrous for Republicans. We want Republicans to choose Republican candidates. Pretty simple thing, right?
Anti-opt-out is disastrous.
Yeah.
Opt-out is wonderful.
Right. Okay. Yes. I'm sorry. And so the Legal Committee, of which Chuck has been a longtime member, and there were several other people too. They've been the ones who kind of developing the legal strategy that, frankly, so far is doing everything it can to save the party.
Well, at least they understand. I mean,
they understand.
Five different lawsuits. that take a lot of time, quite frankly, to understand how they interplay and how they're important to each other. So I was left on that, but only if I behave, I think. And so Kevin Longberg was the chair, and I love Kevin Longberg, but he's anti-opt-out. He loves the lawsuit as long as everything is thrown out. So the Democrats also have to do it, and then go to a primary. But that's unlikely. We won for the opt-out, but he hates the opt-out. So he takes the place of Ken DeGraff. So without telling Ken DeGraff,
Right. Craig Steiner, this is an important thing too. Craig Steiner apparently didn't tell any of the
anybody,
people who were being affected by
anybody.
this that this was going on.
And so then, to add insult to injury, Ted Harvey's appointed to place Dave Williams. Oh, okay, good move. I mean, and as much as we kind of like Ted Harvey, he's not Dave Williams. And certainly he says he's anti-opt-out, but Dave Williams is fighting every day in and day out, to make opt-out a reality. And so then he left the rest of the committee on
For now, he
for
says.
now. What's the phrase?
There might be changes coming.
Additional appointments and changes to the composition of these and other committees may be forthcoming. We're going to kick Chuck out. And if he doesn't, well, do I want to be on a minority committee in which is trying to kill the opt-out?
Well, and here's the thing. So these are people. So what he did is he staffed his committee and he staffed the leadership teams of the Colorado Republican Party with people who want to get rid of the caucus and assembly system
Yes.
and have open and
Open
have
primaries make
a
jungle, and make
jungle
jungle primaries.
jungle primaries, which is incredibly stupid because what do you need a party for if you don't have a caucus assembly? Now I'm going to go out on a limb here and I don't know this, but I'm going to speculate. Craig Steiner has his own whoop-de-doo get out the vote software system that he's developed, right?
Along with 10,000 other
My
software.
guess is that he wants to sell it to the Colorado Republican Party,
Sure.
and he is doing the bidding of the rich, dark money donors, so they will buy this system for him. And he doesn't care how the candidates get elected. All he cares about is that they buy his software system. I don't know that, but that's my guess, because otherwise, why would he
Betray everything he's told
betray
you.
everything? I mean, days later, it's like, and from what we gather too, so Ted Harvey, who was involved in helping get him elected in the first place, tells us, because we called Ted and said, "Ted, did you dupe us or were you duped?" And he said, "Well, I haven't had a direct conversation with Craig," which is interesting, I think. So I don't know. No one knows for sure who Craig Steiner is taking his marching orders from, but it
But
is
somebody doesn't know
clearly.
really he's doing, because he appointed John Temple, Arapahoe County chair.
John Temple's great.
Well, but John Temple's already on the executive committee. He got elected by the big counties, so he can appoint him.
Oh,
And so they're
that's
trying to
right.
explain to him that he's not going to take a position where he'd be thrown out anytime, as opposed to one he's elected to and keeps.
That's a good point.
And then Ken Davis is a good pick, but then he gets Tom McCracken, the
Who is he? He's
Rhino
Jeffords.
America.
Yeah, he's Jeffords' puppet.
Laura Carno, the worst human being in America.
That's what I said. She was
Yes.
censured. So there's no other way to look at this as the new Colorado Republican Party chair, essentially giving the middle finger to the states, to
Grassroots.
the well, then the state central committee who voted to censure her,
Yeah,
right?
because now they'll be almost 50-50, and maybe a controlled now. It used to be 15-9 in favor of the establishment. Then it became very close with the grassroots taking ahead, and now he's switched it back. And he doesn't know what he's doing when he pins somebody who's already on the executive committee, he can't get
Well,
over.
he's trying to make it sound like
Well,
he's
yeah,
not
oh, I didn't know
completely
that. Here's a
fair.
nice rhino for you.
Right, no, he's trying to make it sound fair. So again, we were duped. I don't want to set that straight. We are not anymore thinking he's going to revitalize the party. We think he's a continuation. He's Breida 2.0. His job is to help destroy the party, hopefully making money for a software program in the process.
While giving Glenda all the money he needs,
That's
by
right.
taking out all the legal defenses that the party has.
I mean, he's the legal committee was involved. I mean, it's hard to underestimate or overestimate how significant the opt-out is for the Colorado Republican Party, frankly, the Democrat Party too. The numbers came out today. I saw this for the first time ever. Okay, the ballots are being mailed. More ballots are being mailed today to unaffiliated voters than there are being mailed to both Democrat and Republican voters combined.
That's incredible.
So 50.5% are unaffiliated voters. So Okay, here's the thing. You can say, well, unaffiliated voters should get to vote. Well, then affiliate. If affiliate, it's like...
And if you like Democrats, and if you don't, switch back and forth. It takes about a minute and a half, because I've done it, because we did... When Karen did the thing, let's all screw up the Democratic Party. It takes a minute and a half. You go on the Secretary of State. So just sign up and go unaffiliated afterward. Choose which primary you want. It's not hard. But the reason they've destroyed any reason to be part of the party. If you're going to get two ballots anyway, if I got two ballots, I'd vote in the Democratic primary because I think it's more important about, Barb Kirkmaier, who cares, right? I mean, who cares? She couldn't be worse. An F-rated Republican senator who gave us this disgusting budget. But between Bennett and Weiser, as I've said before, you get your choice. If you want the party, the city, or rather the state to die more slowly, Bennett's your man. If you want it to die quicker, then Weiser's your man. And I'm not sure which is better. I mean, it's,
Well, and again, as I keep saying, the caucus and assembly system is cumbersome and it can be chaotic and it's fraught with issues, right? But at least it is the voters selecting the candidates. Look what's going on in California. That's what they want to have happen in Colorado. Yes. That's what they are pushing for. That's what Steiner is pushing for. What's going on in California right now is what they want to have happen here, because they want the rich donors to pick a top few candidates.
We'll all conspire who's going to be first and who's going to be second.
Exactly. And then they win. And the voters are all the voters. I mean, because they never address the people who don't want the opt out. They never address, well, if we have an open primary, how do people get on the ballot? That's Thomas does that. Okay. They never talk about, well, how do they get on the ballot? Well, that's how. Rich donors secretly pick them. They buy and pay the candidates, and then the top two or three, they're the top two, get on the ballot.
Because the only way anybody gets to know about you is by money and advertisements and people going around. It's a practical matter. Tomorrow, you said, hey, I want to get involved in Republican politics. I always enjoy politics. All you have to do is go to the next meeting and become a PCP, and they've got tons of empty PCP. You can do it tomorrow and then become a district captain, unless they throw you off like Julie did by the rhinos.
They got thrown off, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get thrown off that one. No, not me. It was her this time. And you can be, and you can run for chair.
And you can,
with a jungle primary, forget it. You better go hang out at Phil's house.
Well, and not only that, I mean, the parties will be irrelevant. The parties won't matter. It won't, because it'll just be the top line candidates. Whatever candidates have the most money that they can pay to get onto the ballot, as Britta acknowledged, it's going to be a pay to play system.
And you'll have to get tons of signatures, because all these groups out of Colorado Springs made all their money by getting.
And really, we got to admit it, Colorado is very Democrat leaning. Guess how many actual conservative Republicans you think are going to ever make it on a ballot again? None.
Well, they're about as much as in L.A. for the mayor's race. He ran a great campaign. It's everything else. The third place finisher conceded. And they just said,
Spencer Pratt. No,
here you go. They had one batch of 10,000 votes. A batch of 10,000 votes. With not one
Spencer Pratt. That's what Craig Steiner wants to turn Colorado into. So we are no longer optimistic.
We hate Craig Steiner.
It's like,
throw me off the legal affairs committee. Throw me off everything. You lied to us. You betrayed us. And you are going to be for 6 months. And we're going to make your life hell.
I know.
To the extent we can. Again, because you're going to make our life hell.
It's going to be us who are being divisive, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's, take a note here. Unifying the party doesn't mean lying to one half of the party.
To get elected
and then screwing them over once you're in there. That's not unity. That's,
And I suggest for Ted Harvey, he resigned, he has no position, resigned from the Legal Affairs Committee because he doesn't want to have his whole reputation destroyed.
Yeah, so we'll be keeping an eye on it. I feel duped, and that doesn't happen. You're like hardly ever wrong.
I was right. You convinced me. This is the golden apple she gave me. This is Garden of Eden. Yeah, no, get a little optimism. Eat the apple. You got a lot of wisdom and optimism. Oh, it's poison.
Yeah, it is.
What do you know?
It's a poison pill. So no more optimism. The battle continues because I guarantee you we're not done. They're going to do everything they can to continue to push Colorado into jungle primaries. They being the establishment uniparty Rhino Republicans.
Yeah, against
We're
caucuses and
going to
assemblies.
continue to do everything we can to fight to save it. The one thing we have on our side is that most people favor it, right? Most people support our position. That's why Craig Steiner has to stack it. So he's going to try to, I don't know. We had KBB who slow walked it. You know, the establishment's been trying to get rid of this for years. We had Dave Williams who successfully revitalized it. That's why they all hate Dave Williams so much.
Katie needs everything to destroy. Oh,
Well, she
sorry.
kind of, yeah. And then Britta Horn just openly destroyed it. And now we have Craig Steiner who pretended he was going to be for it. And now he's not going to be for it. There's no way you would put some of these people on the committee
No.
unless.
You wouldn't take off James Peabody and put Fielding as a
Well, you
judge.
wouldn't put Laura Carno in. There are plenty of
You
other.
wouldn't put, and you wouldn't want to put in, what's his name, Adams County.
Thomas Scoville.
Oh, God, you don't, I mean, that guy's
There are plenty.
dead.
He wanted to be unifying and say, okay, look, I want to appoint, you know, some people kind of from both sides, kind of in the middle. There were plenty of people he could have picked, right? But to pick someone who was
Like
so,
Scoville,
and Laura Carno, who's been censored, it's so that's that. And again,
McCracken.
and yeah.
It couldn't be worse, McCracken.
I kind of see the congressional candidate.
It,
Remember,
well, we all know that there was a meeting. The first day after it was a Saturday and a Sunday, all four of them gave up their Sunday afternoon do-nothing drinkathon and called him up for a Zoom meeting and told him, "You want any money? You want anything? You get rid of the
rid of the
opt-out.
opt-out. Yeah, I
Get
mean,
rid of the opt-out." And he says, he told him, "Oh, I can't right now." I bet he would. He said,
okay, but because
"When
they're
would you like me to ki kill it? Wait till
because.
Monday and appoint an opt-out slate for all the key
Yeah,
commissions."
I kind of, again, the congressional's made it clear in some of the court filings, they flat out said they could not win in a closed primary. They could not win in a primary where only Republicans could vote, right? They couldn't win. That should tell you something, that our four congressional representatives do not believe they could get elected by Republicans. I
Yeah,
think
no,
that kind of
absolutely.
says something. So we know they're against it. I think McCracken is probably a Jeff Hurd push.
Yeah.
Thomas Scoville, he's probably a Gabe Evans
Yes,
push.
yes.
So
Pam Valdez, I'm sure she's awful from Bend County. I'm not sure who she's owning up to.
But and so just to kind of go back and talk just a little bit about that, it is keep in mind that the Democrats are the ones who pushed in 2016 for the open
Yes.
primaries, right? And since then, like I said, what's happened? Well, they've made the parties increasingly irrelevant. Again, as I say, because they know the Republican Party is the only organized opposition to the jungle primary.
Right.
And now they've got ballots are being made to more unaffiliated voters. So their argument is going to be, what's the point of a primary? Unaffiliated voters are dominating it anyway. You
Give them
know,
their own
even
primary.
they could be an independent party, you know.
Yeah, the unaffiliated. Anschutz lackeys like Jimmy Sangberg. Oh yeah, we don't really need a primary. We've,
John Caldera,
oh,
people like that.
Caldera's the worst.
Right. Well,
Caldera's
he's
the worst.
independent though. He's not, at least he's not a Republican, right? I mean,
Well, not anymore. He was until but he never says anything about Democrats. It's always, he hates
Here's,
the
and again, to talk about what's going on in California, which is what Craig Steiner apparently wants to implement here, the conservative treehouse had an interesting thing. There have been seven, since 2018, which was sort of the first election after this went in, right? Seven House seats in 2018 alone, where the GOP was
State
leading,
House seats.
yeah, state House seats, where the GOP was leading, right?
Yeah.
And then till days afterwards, when they started to do the slow count, and then weeks later, lo and behold, all of the Republicans lost. All seven of those races flipped. And then he said, since then, and so in the ensuing, what, 8 years, there has not been one race where the slow count mail ballots and a Republican was in the lead didn't flip it.
Yeah.
Not one race. And so, I mean, you know, they're clearly, they've got, you know, baskets and
It's a
baskets of
gold
ballots.
standard, though, as
Oh,
Jimmy
yeah.
Sangenberg will tell us, and my friend Peter Boyles will tell you, it's the gold standard. We love good old-fashioned
So, and
Boston
again,
cookies.
as messy as it is, letting the voters pick the candidates,
I
not the
don't know why that's
donors.
messy.
Well, it's messy because you're right, because people are voting, right? And people
Yeah, you
are
get people
campaigning.
involved, and instead of some billionaires and their consultants. Then everything's really clean, very straightforward. No messiness there.
It's not,
not messy at all.
And then they'll just let AI do it. They're like, we're
going
to predict to AI who AI will predict. And again, you get to California where, and how do you even, Spencer Pratt, I feel kind of bad for him. He's like saying, look, there are thousands and thousands of ballots. I'm like, where are these ballots coming from? What do they mean?
Everywhere.
Thousands of ballots out. It's like, you know, in Colorado, though, what do they pass a law that can keep coming in for more
years,
days?
Years.
Yeah.
Tell the Democrats take control.
Why is that? Right? It's because they have to see how many thousands of ballots
they need. Count out the opposition, count out the fair vote, and as our friend Ted Trippett said, then see what the number is you need to overturn it. I don't think he was talking about cheating, but we knew he was.
Well, that's their plan, right? And
yeah.
that's why they have it, and that's why it is so important that Colorado fight against it, because you know, we've talked that just the economic situation is disastrous in Colorado. Jacob, there's a ton of comments, so we're going to go ahead. You don't need to, oh, from Jacob, you don't need to buy anything to get a disc from the Secretary of State of Voters and resort the information by zip, then street, then by number, and you got to get out the vote system.
Yeah,
that's a
good point.
Good point,
Jacob.
And then if the harvester gets to the address and finds out the voter has since moved, then that harvester writes up a claim that the voter does not exist. Alaska repealed the jungle primary. Did the state legislature of Colorado settle?
That failed.
Oh, that failed. Okay, did the state of the legislature settle the $1.8 billion
yes,
debt?
Yes, they did. They're going to double it. They say in the next 10 years they can double that.
You double it and you're not going to get your Tabor refund anymore. California may end up like New Jersey, where Exxon, Mobil, and Samsung have left 42,000 employees. Well, yeah, but and it's really killing California is the billionaire tax, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so like, well, I mean, okay, I guess we'll leave now, you know.
As that mayor of Seattle said, bye-bye.
Yeah. And that's all well and good, even in New York, right? And so then the governor's like, no, all your people from Florida, come on back around. So,
So you know, if you think you live in a democracy, you live in a corrupt one.
Yeah, actually, I try not to. This is a good tactic. I try not to think about the California election too much because it is so depressing. And at a certain point, they're not even trying to pretend now that they're not cheating, right? They're not even trying to pretend.
Literally, got a drop of 10,000 ballots, not one for the vote, not one.
Well, and you have to ask, how soon before they just quit pretending at all and don't just drop it all? Like, you know,
here's the results.
But we had AI run it and we realized there's no sense in a Republican even running anymore because they won't win. And so we're going to have all these weird, because no one will vote for our policies, of course, right? We have insane policies, the Democrats do. We want to destroy America. And we want to have us, the
get
elites,
rid of nuclear families, right. Get rid of whatever gender you are.
Scott Pelley in charge.
Scott Pelley, yes. Oh, he was so pompous and self-righteous, crying about the team. But they went into combat together.
Right.
You went into combat. Wait a minute, you're a reporter, right?
Yeah.
You went in a war zone maybe or something. And the producer saved my life in a firefight. You sound like Victor Marx. What, you know?
What firefight were you in?
What firefight?
If you're in a firefight, there are not very many times reporters are in firefights. And if you are, you shouldn't be in one because you're not a soldier.
Not helping.
Yeah, you're not helping. You don't have a gun. You're not defending. You're just causing problems. So somebody would say, what firefight were you in? But that's a weird thing too. This might be sort of a shorter show because we had a golf tournament at like 5 o'clock this morning and again tomorrow. But I was.
Which did not go well. But tomorrow's another day.
Scott or Alex Berenson on Substack. I was trying to explain to my friend Maureen what Substack is. So if you guys aren't, Substack was initially started when kind of during the COVID thing, when you had a ton of people, when the YouTube, Google, Facebook, all of those places were completely censoring everybody who wasn't saying what they wanted. And so Substack kind of grew then. And what it is it's a platform. It initially started as a writer's platform where people could write blogs, they could write columns, they could write editorials, and then they could put together an email list and they would mail it out.
And you'd have a site where all your articles
It's all on Substack, right? You didn't have to get your own website. You didn't have to go to all of that expense. And then Substack added a Stripe payment. So if people wanted to subscribe to you, Substack would take a cut.
Yeah,
so you could monetize your writing, right? And for a while, it was, I mean, Barry Weiss's, what is it, the free citizen, the free whatever, her website, after she left the New York Times, right, her Substack site was there. And she created her own, like, little newspaper on Substack, basically, is the best way to put it. And he's noting, so what's happening now is all of the lefties are realizing, wait a minute, you know, all of the conservative influencers and those people that are kind of making a difference. So all the left people are now taking over Substack. And as a result, Substack is monetizing or promoting some of the more conservative ones less. And they're starting to censor it. They're starting to censor mean comments and things like that. He's Alex Berenson, you know, I don't always agree with him. And he's certainly not a Trump fan. But the guy is right about a lot of things, including free speech. He's like, it's look what happened to YouTube, right? He said, look what happened to Facebook. Substack was sort of like the shining beacon, and now it's not anymore. And then he said, worst of all,
it turned into drudge.
Worst of all, he says, it's boring. He said,
boring.
He said, lefty influencers are boring, which is true. Yeah. He said they killed late night comedy, right? They've killed all kinds of other things. And he said, and all they do are write these pompous, Scott Pelley-esque anti-Trump tirades, right? And he's like, you know, there was a time when Elon Musk was thinking about buying Substack, and he's like, why would he even bother anymore, you know?
I mean, what?
Yeah, so that's just kind of an aside there. They're trying to make an inroad, but I think what will hurt them is they're boring and they have no sense of humor. So
what happened to the Colbert Show? I mean, boring, pompous, pious.
No sense of humor.
No sense of humor, other than just endless political humor. Skewed one way.
Okay, we've got Jacob, you're on fire today. Let's see. The California version of the Save Act is on the ballot in November. Not for long. Yeah. I heard that they found a ballot sign with a smiley face, and I heard that a legally blind woman was confirming ballots. Mm-hmm. Is that the same person who used the Braille ATM on the driver's side?
Right.
Gutfeld seems to be doing well. Yeah, Gutfeld is doing excellent. Well, because he's funny. He's funny, and he's right. Like, we've talked about the comedian Tim Dillon that our son listens to some. Well, yeah, it's hard to be funny all the time. And he's certainly not a Trump supporter, but he's funny, and he's kind of right on.
You don't really care as long as they're funny.
Right.
But Colbert wasn't funny.
No. Well, was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
You know, one of the two budgets came out in the spring. One was from Florida. And one was from New York. Now, Florida and New York have equivalent populations, approximately. And New York's budget is twice the size of Florida's. And it increased 6%, while Florida's went down a couple percent. And they don't do anything different. It's just what the bang for your buck. So for education, it's incredibly expensive how much they pay teachers and all the DEI bureaucrats and the administration and everything else. And then it was Medicare, Medicaid rather, in which they cover, you know, anybody who's ever flown over New York if you're illegal and stuff. And it costs them just a fortune. And of course, all the bureaucracy costs more money because they have more things to.
Well, it's all fraudulent, right? I mean, that's what we're finding out too. A lot in Colorado, a lot of the Medicaid bills were fraudulent, right? There were these, like, everyone has autism, right? You have this autism center.
That's the best one because you can be anything. You can be a genius and be autistic. You can be retarded, although you're not allowed to use that word. You can be mentally challenged and be autistic. And therefore, everything in between. So I said, well, Julie's autistic. And you kind of go, oh, okay.
So Julie's 3,000.
I'll take care of her. And rather than have her go into some crummy hospital and go get it, I'll take care of her and just pay me $10,000 a month or whatever it is, a year, and I'll take care of her. Okay, yeah, it's good.
All right, anyway, I didn't interrupt you on the budget. I was just...
Well, that's what it is. It's just, you know, you couldn't have a bigger blue state versus red state comparison. And where is everybody flocking? Well, they're flocking to Florida. Nobody's dying to get into New York City. How can I get into New York?
Grocery, you know, you don't hear very much about their free grocery store program anymore.
Mondami's?
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason for that, Julie. The free grocery store, and it wasn't free, it was city-owned. So you'd get great prices. It wasn't free.
Okay.
It was going to be, eggs would be very cheap and essentials would be and so forth. Because they prognosticated that it would take them 3 years. 3 years to get the first one started. So it's not until 2029 that the first free
Oh, I
for
thought they
government.
had one that went
No.
badly. Oh, okay.
No.
Sort of a prototype. Oh, okay. So
3 years, and they could have, Trump
then
could have built half a city in 3 years. They built the Empire State Building. They literally.
if you were like, a King Soopers exec in your mind, so you're like, we've got this new suburb, right? This giant suburb that we're building, and we need to do a grocery store there. And you said to your boss, okay, it's gonna take me 3 years to get that store up and running.
Yeah, very tough, getting the,
They would be like, no, it's not gonna take you that long,
Let's see, how about Boebert's heated reporter clash exposed the bigger sheriff? What was it? I don't know.
So somebody, Lauren Boebert told, I think it was a Fox Digital reporter, to F off when she asked her something about an affair with Thomas Massie. Now, I personally don't see an affair, Lauren Boebert have an affair with Thomas Massie. Maybe. I don't, I
Why
mean, I
not?
don't, I don't know what that was based on. I haven't, I'm not up to
Well,
speed
she's
on.
not married. She's having an affair with the entire Western United States, as far as I know. You can go on a date with her if you want to.
Oh wait, hang on. She is having an affair. The affair was a bar mitzvah. I think Lauren Boebert, you're right. You keep seeing all these things now coming up in Politico saying, "What's this? This is an example of what's going to happen after Trump." They all just can't wait for Trump to go away. And Lauren Boebert, I think, is clearly gone over to the Americans for Prosperity side of things, the uniparty establishment, go follow the money. We'll see what happens. I kind of think that Gabe Evans is probably in trouble. Just kind of, this is
Well,
rambling a little bit.
every of these rating ones say it's lean Democrat, so he certainly is a bit of a long shot.
So we'll only have three congressional, but then we redistrict,
They're
and we'll
all
see what's,
possible.
yeah.
We have four. That's our biggest. That's half. We don't have anything else.
It's the worst of all of them, though. Where would he voted to? He had some other vote now, too, where he was one of like four Republicans to vote with the Democrats. Yes, I will say Gabe Evans, Jeff Crank, and Lauren Boebert don't do that as much.
Well, unless it's with immigration, he voted for the whatchamacallit act, the
But
Light Act, or whatever it was called, that really would allow, amnesty to all illegal aliens.
yes, that was, but I don't know
What was
why
it
Lauren,
called? I forget.
dignity.
Dignity,
The
right.
Dignity Act. I don't know why Lauren Boebert, I mean, Thomas Massie lost. So if you're Lauren Boebert, you'd be like, bye, Tom.
Next.
Yeah. If she was having an affair, she's not anymore. She's like, because we need the new person.
Who's the guy who wants you in an affair with him?
No, yeah. But yeah, I think it's funny. And then there was a little blow up that the left is again making a big deal that Donald Trump stormed out of the interview with Kristen Welker, I think NBC. And then somebody else pointed out, so Trump said that it was pouring rain. They had all kinds of lighting and technical difficulties setting the interview. So we sat there for an hour and a half, I guess, right? And then all of a sudden she turns, nasty,
Sorry.
snarky. And Trump is like, okay, I'm done. I'm done.
I came all the way from
Please.
D.C. to these to this godforsaken wilderness to be interviewed.
And then they say he stormed off. It's like, he's and I think he even said, it's like, I've been sitting here patiently, right? Well, you guys have been messing around. I'm like the president. I'm busy. You know what I mean? Call me when you have your lighting set up. It's like, you don't ask the president, can you hold the white balance sheet? So.
Listening to Mark Simon this morning, he explained that the big dump of stock forcing the Dow to go down on Friday was a result of funders selling stocks so they would have money to save to purchase SPCX
Oh,
on
is that,
Friday.
yeah, oh, SpaceX. Yeah, Elon Musk has taken his company
Public.
public. I don't know all the correct terms for that.
Yeah,
So,
public.
or then, yeah, Thomas says, or have good enough equipment to noise gate it. That's right. IPO, that's right. Okay, well, should we, anything else?
You're always ending early and early, Jill.
Today we had an excuse. Today it's like we had this. We didn't have time to prepare. So I kind of apologize for that. But we did, in fact, kind of toyed with not. But then I'm like, no, we need to get it out to people that we were.
So if you're a grassroots person, you've been betrayed. If you thought, oh, well, it'll be okay. And we betrayed you. We said, no, we think he's going to be okay. Wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong, but don't blame me. It was a momentary derangement where I was optimistic, given by Eve here, who saved me the hokum The hope of Apple and
That's
super
all.
bright.
So no more optimism. No more
We're
optimism.
none of that anymore. The Chuck and Julie show is cutting out all optimism.
For good reason.
For good goddamn reason.
Hey, so apologize for wrapping it up early, but we will have a full show on Wednesday.
Full, complete.
Full
overtime for you.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody on Zoom. And Thomas, hey, thank you. And again, Thomas, hopefully you're listening. Apologize for the quick cut up, but we will see everybody on Wednesday.